Greetings, sisters. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, today I want to talk to you about head coverings. And before I do that, I'm just going to say that we have tons of articles on head coverings, that it is for today. We refute a lot of the arguments against it. We go into great detail. We have many articles on it between the discernment blog and the sisters blog. So I encourage you, if you're not really familiar with it, if you're just learning it, or if you want to refresh yourself, go dig deep into that. I just thought it might be good to put a voice to the teaching here. And so what I want to do is I want to start out with 1 Corinthians 1:2 and tell you that this is not a cultural tradition. This is something for everyone everywhere that calls upon the name of the Lord. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now that right there proves it's not cultural. Now if that's not enough for somebody, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 11 now, and Paul talks about head coverings from verse 1 through 16, and then right after that, starting at verse 17, he goes into the Lord's Supper. So if you want to stand on cultural, you have to throw out the Lord's Supper, and wow, you're going to be throwing a lot of stuff out of God's Word. So now that we've got that established, let me go back here. I might be pausing this in between while I go back and forth. Hold on one sec. Okay, so I'm just going to start reading through and talking about the verses as we go. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. Now an ordinance is going to be like a teaching or a tradition. So Paul's telling us, all of us who call upon the name of the Lord everywhere, that we're supposed to keep the ordinance and the traditions that he hands down. And that would be the head covering for women. Verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So now we see the headship order. Paul is outlining it. God is the head, Jesus, man, woman. So now that we have that established, let's keep going and see what he says about head covering. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. So Paul's saying, pretty simple to read it here, men should not be praying with their head covered. Women are not to pray with their head uncovered. Verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Now let's look and see what covered means. The word is katakalupto, and it means to cover wholly, to hide, to veil, to cover oneself. So clearly it's easy to see, katakalupto. Kata is like an expressive form of down, and klupto is to veil. So we are to totally cover wholly and hide. So that would be covering our hair, and we're going to learn, or our head, and we're also going to learn that it's to cover our hair too. Let me keep going. Let's see, verse 7. For a man indeed ought not cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. So did you catch that? The man is not to cover his head because he's the glory of God, but a woman is to cover herself, cover her head, because she's man's glory. So man's glory must be covered, but Jesus' glory is not, which would be man. Do you get that? So man is not to cover his head because he is the glory of Jesus. We cover our head because we are the glory of man. And it goes on, verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. So there he goes. He reiterates how the woman is the glory for man. Remember in Genesis 3, woman was created for man. Now keep that in mind. God created man. He created Adam. Then later, he created woman for Adam. He didn't create them both at the same time. So Paul is just reiterating the headship order here. So let's see, verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I'm not even going to go there. All I'm going to say is Paul said it. Whatever that means, we could speculate. We can maybe think about it. But I don't see where there's anything dogmatic, that there's anything mystical, I don't want to say mystical, but any powerful forces behind it. We don't know what all this entails. All we know is Paul says It's, what do you say? I want to get it right here. Power on her head because of the angels. So we need to have a head covering on because of the angels, whatever that means. That's none of my business. I'm doing it because the Father said so through Paul. Verse 11, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. So there he's kind of leveling it out. He's not like dumping on women here, but woman was created for man, but both, just as we know in Galatians, there's no male nor female in the eyes of the Lord when it comes to spiritual things. And he keeps going on that. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. So verse 13, judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? So would that be right for man's glory, which is woman, to be praying to God uncovered? Now man's glory is uncovered before the Lord? No, that's not right. Verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now right here, people are saying, see, her hair's a covering. Well, that can't be true, because as Brother Jim's always telling the men, if hair is a covering, there's two aspects here. Men have to shave their heads in order to pray. So how are they shaving their heads and then having hair, and shaving their heads and having hair? How do they do that? Same with a woman. How is she praying uncovered, then covered, uncovered, uncovered with her hair? That can't be. Now, some people will say it's not just hair, it's long hair. Well, it can't be that either, because you know why? There's a lot of women out there that have very tight, kinky, curly hair that does not grow long. It just grows out and up. So they can never pray? What about the woman who's going into surgery, had her head shaved? What about the woman who went through chemo and all her hair fell out? What about the woman who had a buzz cut on her hair because she was a skinhead out in the world and she repented and was born again, and now she's got to wait 5 years for long hair, if that long, to pray to the Lord? No, the word for this covering is, it's parabolian, but it's not working. Hold on. Parabolion. And what it is, that's a something thrown around, that's a mantle, a covering, a vesture, a wrapper, and yes, down here it says a veil. So what it's doing is it's giving you, it gives you, nature gives you the picture of what a woman should have. She's got the semblance of a veil already through nature by looking at her hair. It's thrown around. And yet she's supposed to cover her glory, correct? And then a man without any hair, without long hair, I'm sorry. So when you look at nature, you see men with short hair, women with long hair. Doesn't even nature teach you that? So then it would also teach you that men shouldn't have their head covered and women should have their head covered. You have to go think about that. Hold on one sec. All right, so now we're at verse 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. All right, so those of you who don't want to do this, you can just throw out 16 verses of 1 Corinthians 11. And Paul just wasted all that time telling women that they're not supposed to pray uncovered, that they're supposed to cover their glory. And then at the end, he says, but if you don't like, you don't have to do that. That's a lie. You know, I'm just going to say this. I didn't have a whole lot of tainting in me when I came to the Lord. And I just simply read God's word. And when I read 1 Corinthians 11, I saw that I was to cover my head, absolutely without a doubt. And when I got to this verse, I was like, wow, Paul, who was called of Jesus, is not so dumb that he's going to go through all that time and just tell you, you don't have to do it. So the logical outcome on this is, Paul says, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom of being contentious, neither do the churches of God. We don't have contention against the customs that Jesus Christ himself gives through Paul. So that's pretty much what he's saying on that. And I want to go, hold on one sec. Okay, I know I'm kind of flying through this, but it's already been almost 10 minutes and I don't want this horribly long. Numbers 5:18, we're going to go see where women covered their head already in the Old Testament. And this is about the woman who, the husband thought maybe she had committed adultery. So he takes her to the priest, and this is what happens. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord, and uncover the woman's head, and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causes the curse. So we see he uncovered her head. I'm going to go get another one now. Okay, Isaiah 47, I'm going to read 1 through 3. This will tell you again that women were wearing head coverings. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne. O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. So we can see how shameful it is for a woman to have her head uncovered. And I'm not going to go find all the verses on these. You can look some of these up, and I have them in the articles there. Rebecca, when she sees her husband coming, puts a veil on, and people think she's running around without a veil. Well, she had the veil, and a lot of times they would cover their face when it came to meeting their husband. And Ruth also had a veil in which she carried some of the grain that Boaz had given her. Apparently they had these great big long wrapper veils. That's not the point. I'm not going to go into what we're supposed to be wearing, but we see the Old Testament women had veils, and Paul's just carrying that through. Here's something to throw in your mind, sisters. Everybody always says, don't pray with your head uncovered, which means put something on. Well, if we look in the Old Testament, they already had veils. It could be don't take it off, because veils are a part of a woman's clothing, and we don't go out in the public and expose our hair, which belongs to our husband, and it's our glory, which should be covered before the Lord. So this is part of our clothing, part of what we should be putting on every day. God's word says that we should pray unceasingly, which means never stop praying in your life, but yet it's a daily type mental and spiritual situation that you're in, always communing with the Father, always in a spiritual state. It doesn't mean you're always praying every second of the day, but you're always ready to. You can give thanks at any time. As Brother Jim was saying to somebody about wearing baseball hats, he was talking to a man. He said, you will put your hat on, take it off, on, off, on, off, on, off, all day long. And it's best not for men not to wear a hat unless it's absolutely imperative in the weather. But anyway, I was just sharing what Brother Jim shared on there. But for women, yes, you can be in your house uncovered, but you wouldn't be in your house uncovered before other men other than your husband. And technically, you really shouldn't be uncovered in front of your children either, because if it's part of your clothing, you should have it on. You don't want to be bearing your nakedness and your shame. Well, there you go. I didn't take any notes on this. I just kind of went through the scriptures and spoke it out. So I may have missed something. One of the arguments right now off the top of my head, I can't think of one that I did. But anyway, we have most of them covered in all the articles that we have. So hopefully this has been an encouragement to you, hearing another sister talk about it. I cover full time. I'm rarely without it. And I have articles that kind of show, I think, like what I do for covering. I can talk about that some other time. But anyway, I encourage you, if you are not covering your head as a Christian woman, if you're claiming to be born again, if you've repented and now have been born from above with the Holy Spirit and you're walking in holiness and obedience, this is something you definitely need to look into, as well as biblical clothing. This is a command from our Lord and Savior. And if you're new to this, if you've been doing it and you're just not sure, if you have any questions or anything, you can reach out to me and I'll do my best to help you in it, in the things of for women, Titus 2 type things. So hopefully it's been an encouragement to you. And until next time, this one went a little bit longer than normal, but it's a pretty big topic. Love to all you sisters out there. Have a joyous evening, and may God be praised.